We just got back from a mission trip to Scotland, and oh, it was wonderful. The Lord really blessed on that trip. I got a chance to teach a few times while we were in Scotland, and we're going to share those teachings with you here in Charlotte on the radio. We just got back from a mission trip to Scotland, and oh, it was wonderful. The Lord really blessed on that trip. I got a chance to teach a few times while we were in Scotland, and we're going to share those teachings with you here in Charlotte on the radio. This week, we're going to start a teaching on the five kinds of healing and how to become a prayer minister.
The whole idea of this venue is it's fairly informal. It's fairly casual. We want to keep it that way. Welcome. The Lord has some good things in store tonight. It's going to be interesting to see what the Lord does tonight. Father, we just invite you into everything we do. I pray, Father, that you anoint these lips. Let them sing your praise, say your praise, and speak your word today. Anoint every ear, every heart, including my heart, to receive from you what you have for us tonight, Lord. We're only interested in what you have for us. And we lay ourselves out before your throne and say, Lord, come and speak into our hearts. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. If you have Bibles, you probably want to get them out. If you can take notes, you're probably going to want to take notes tonight. There's more scriptures than we might can get to, so we're just going to see how we do. We're going to start off in Mark 16. So I'm going to ask this question again tonight. Maybe there'll be somebody brave enough to answer. What did you come for tonight? Who wants to tell me what they're expecting tonight or why they came? Yes?
I came to see more of the Lord.
Okay, more of the Lord.
More of the Lord.
Okay, I promise you, you'll get that. Matter of fact, the Lord has some things especially for you and a couple others I already know. David?
More of the Lord's
knowledge. Very good. Hopefully you'll receive that too. Anybody else? What kind of expectations other than checking out the weirdo Americans?
Came to be equipped.
Okay, great. Amen. Good. That's good. Okay. Good. Praise the Lord. All those things are good things. Anybody else want to? You, to do what? Activate what you already got. Absolutely. That'll be good. That's a good thing, too. Yes, Stephen?
I came for good food.
Good. Well, you're out of luck, son, because as far as I... Oh, that food. Oh, okay.
It's the best.
Irene, yes.
Why did I come? Well, to get uplifted.
Well, I'll tell you what. We're going to talk about ministry gifts tonight. And fortunately, the good news is... Hey there, Stephen. Come on in.
Oh, I'm the good news.
Wrong. But anyway, the good news about ministry gifts is that you don't have to be big, you don't have to be powerful, you don't have to be smart. And that's why I can minister. Let's read Mark 16, verses 15 through 18. This is some of the last words of Jesus on planet Earth before he's taken up. Now, he's still here with us now through the Spirit of God, but not physically. He said, go into the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized, they'll be saved. Whoever disbelieves will be condemned. But now listen to this part. He says, and these signs will accompany those who have gone to seminary. Is that what that says?
No.
And these signs will accompany those who have been ordained by the church and have reverend before their name.
No?
Okay. Oh, sure, you're cheating. You're using the Bible on the iPad. What does it say? And these signs will follow who? Okay, now, is that an exclusive club? There's no stratification there, is it? The only requirement to get into this club is that you have believed what? That Jesus Christ is the Son of God and have been baptized and you're serving God, you know, those kinds of things. Okay, that's us, right? All of us. These signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will pick up serpents, and if they drink any deadly poison, it shall not hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and the sick will recover. This is what Jesus was saying. You know, when Jesus went about preaching the good news or proclaiming the good news, he said, hey, everybody, I got good news for you. The kingdom of God is here, and you can be part of it. And now let me show you what it's like living in the kingdom of God. And then he'd heal the sick, and he would multiply food, and he would cast out devils. He would do miracles. What he's telling these guys is, I expect you folks who believe on me to carry on that same ministry. You just do what I was doing while I was here. And lo and behold, in verses 19 and 20, it says, the Lord spoke to him. He was received up to heaven, sat down at the right hand of God. And then it says in verse 20, and they went out and they preached everywhere while the Lord worked with them and confirmed the words by signs that followed. In other words, they did just exactly that. Well, we're the disciples now, right? This was the disciples then. Now we're the ones that are disciples. And so we're expected to go do things and let God work through us performing signs and wonders. When it says he worked with them here, while the Lord worked with them, how do you suppose he did that? Well, it was through the Holy Spirit. It was through ministry gifts. He was working through them through spiritual gifts. I contend just the way the Holy Spirit worked through him when he was physically on this earth. He said, I've been anointed to do these things. The Holy Spirit came down on him in the form of a dove. And at that point, he was filled with the Holy Spirit. And through the anointing of the Holy Spirit, he did mighty wonders. And so that's what we're going to do too. Now, I believe that God's anointing on us is important for everything we do. It's important for your job, for your hobby, for your children. If you're doing it, you need to be anointed by the Holy Spirit to do it, so you can do it as well as is possible to do. How much more do we need that anointing when we're ministering to folks, or when we're allowing God to move through us to do this ministry of Jesus that includes signs and wonders? And so today I want to talk to you some about spiritual gifts primarily and how we can let the Lord move through us. Turn to Romans 12. There are a lot of scriptures about gifts in the Bible, in the New Testament especially. I believe there are three categories of gifts. This is some of the gifts that are mentioned in Romans 12, 3 through 8. He says, for through the grace given to me, I say to every man among you, not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment, as God has allocated to each a measure of faith. For just as we have many members in one body, and all members don't have the same function, so we are many, and we are one body in Christ, and we are individually members of one another. And then he starts talking about how we're able to, through giftings, we're able to minister to each other or to help each other, different folks with different gifts. They vary according to the grace that's been given to us. He said, let us each exercise those gifts accordingly, if prophecy, according to the proportion of faith, if service, that's really the word deacon there, but if service, or he who teaches in his teaching, he who exhorts in his exhortation, he who gives with liberality. Yes, I know that God sometimes gifts some people to make lots of money and to give it to the kingdom of God. That's one of their gifts, okay? Those who lead with diligence and show mercy and cheerfulness. If you go on over to Ephesians 4, a fairly famous list of giftings there, where he's talking about in Ephesians 4 and 11, and he, Jesus, gave some, these are gifts, as apostles, some as prophets, some as evangelists, pastors, teachers, etc. There are lots of places in the Bible where we read about giftings, and especially ministry gifts. I believe there are three broad categories of gifts. The first one is our natural talents, those things that we're just born with. The second is learned gifts, things that we've been trained to do. And the last category is spiritual gifts. Natural gifts, well, I'll tell you, let me give you an example. I have a brother that has perfect pitch. You could say, I would like you to tell me what E flat above middle C sounds like, and he'll, and it'll be exactly right. I have another brother that can't carry a tune in a sack, okay? I mean, he can hardly play the radio. But this brother who...
But you love them.
Oh, yeah, I love them both.
They're both doctors
and surgeons and make lots of money, so, you know. But the one brother who has perfect pitch, he's a great musician. He is really a natural musician. But he spent a year at ORU learning music, and he has learned music at other places and taken lessons. In other words, he not only has a natural gift, but he has developed that gift through learning and through education, and he's even better at it now. Debbie has a natural gift. She's a colorist. If Aline said, I want to paint my walls the whatever color that is that she's wearing in her sweater tonight, Debbie could go down to the local paint shop and tell them it's this color. That's the one we want. And when Aline got the paint to her house, it would be exactly that or very, very close to it. That's a natural talent that Debbie has. Sometimes God anoints the natural talents that we have, like Gene playing music or my brother or Stephen playing music. You may have a natural talent in that area, but God anoints that talent for his service, right? So that's a ministry gift that comes from something that you were just born with. Then there are the learned talents and gifts, like I was talking about my brother getting training for music. Training can develop gifts, even though they're not natural. Training can teach us things that we may not have been able to do in advance. But we still need to be anointed to do whatever it is, even if it's a gifting that we have learned along the way. I have a son-in-law who is a policeman. Let's see, do policemen in Scotland carry guns?
No.
Okay, they do in the United States. Yeah. When Kevin decided to become a policeman, he didn't just march into the chief's office and say, okay, I'm ready. Give me my gun and my badge and give me a car to drive around in. I'm ready to be a policeman. You know, he didn't do that. He had to go to police academy. He had to train. He had to be watched in a probationary period even after that. He had to develop that ability and learn that ability. But even so, he still needs to be anointed by the Holy Spirit to do his job. One night he was on patrol and there was a call about a robbery that had taken place and a stolen car that the robbers were in and probably weapons involved. And Kevin is driving by this, we call them convenience store. It's like a little grocery store. And he sees the car while the call is going out and the guys are sitting in the car. So, you know, there's several ways that you could handle that. The Holy Spirit just said, just go talk to them. And so he pulls his car up next to him, he gets out, and he says, I need you guys to help me. Can you help me inside the store here? And they all get out and say, yeah, sure. And when they get out, he says, you're under arrest. Put your hands. And there was no problem. The weapons were all in the car. And they were away from their weapons. Well, now maybe the next time he'll just sit there and call for backup. You know, he had to be anointed to do even a job he had learned to do. You still need to be anointed to do that job. There are some more talent scriptures like 1 Peter 4, 10 through 11 talks about, it's really a list of gifts and it includes minister or deacon, speaker, stewards, people who are responsible for things, you know, and all kinds of gifts. And those oftentimes are either natural gifts or they're learned gifts. But the gift category that I think is most important for us to learn about is that third category, and that's what I call spiritual gifts, okay? Turn to Hebrews 2, and let's look at verse 4. Hebrews, toward the back of the book. Hebrews 2 and verse 4 says, God, also bearing witness with them, both by signs and wonders and by various miracles and by gifts of the Holy Spirit according to his own will. I believe Paul there is talking about spiritual gifts. These are gifts that we haven't learned. These are gifts that come not from our genetics or our own abilities. These are gifts that come entirely and completely from the Holy Spirit of God. And as a matter of fact, I'm going to define tonight spiritual gifts as gifts that come from and through the Holy Spirit. These gifts come entirely and completely from God, to accomplish what no human could accomplish by themselves. And we and our efforts and our talents and our gifts have nothing to do with spiritual gifts. We are simply the vessels through which these gifts flow. And do you understand the concept that I'm talking about here? There are lots of spiritual gifts. Look at 1 Corinthians 12. And we're going to stay there for a while, probably for the rest of the teaching time tonight. 1 Corinthians 12. Some see this as the exhaustive list of spiritual gifts. There are 9 gifts here that Paul talks about. I think there are a lot more than that. I have operated in and have watched people operate in compassion and mercy in a way that you knew. This was not coming from them. This was a spiritual gift in operation. Sometimes dreams and visions are actually spiritual gifts. Intercessory prayer and supplications can be a spiritual gift, and we operate in those. through a spiritual gifting. It doesn't come from you. It's not about you. It's not something you have learned how to do. About the only thing you get to learn on these gifts is how to get out of the way and let God operate through you. How to humble yourself and say, it isn't me, it is God doing this, and I'm going to allow Him to operate through me. Now, what we're going to do is we're going to go through these nine gifts here, and I want to do something kind of unusual tonight. You'll hear people look at these nine gifts. They'll read about the nine gifts out of the Bible here, and they'll say, well, you know, these are nine gifts that are for the building up of the church and to be used as the Spirit of God says, and that's true, that's what it says. And some people might receive one of these gifts, but a lot of people won't receive any of these gifts. This is some kind of special God handing out prizes at the door or something. And there could, you, and as a matter of fact, I've heard people say, and you can only operate in one gift. And if it's, that's your gift, if your gift is healing, well, then that's what you do. And you would never operate in the other gifts. And my experience and what I see here in the Word just says that's baloney. We should all be open and available and able to operate in any of these nine gifts or any other spiritual gifts at any time that God wants us to. Because it isn't about us. It's not my gift. I'm just letting the Holy Spirit move through me to do what He wants to. Okay, so let's read this. 1 Corinthians 12. Let's start in verse. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for common good. For to one is given, and he's talking about for one at a time. For one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, and to another the word of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith, to another by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, to another the effecting of miracles, and to another prophecy, to another the distinguishing or discerning of spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all things, distributing to each one individually just as He wills. What I'm going to do tonight is I'm going to give you examples out of my life of each of these spiritual gifts operating through me. It'll help you understand what they're talking about, what the gifts are. It'll also help you understand that we can all operate in all of these gifts at any time, just depending on what the Lord wants to do. It would be easy for someone to think, oh, he's telling these stories on himself so he can be lifted up. But you know what? If I'm talking about spiritual gifts, by definition, I didn't do it. They can't lift me up at all. I'm doing it as an example from me, first of all, because I know what happened, and I can describe it well. But second of all, so you'll know, it can all happen with one person. Okay, is that all right? Okay, so let's go through these. What's the first gift there that Paul mentions? Word of wisdom. Now, wisdom isn't about information or facts or events or dates or that kind of thing. Wisdom is about how you use the information that you have. In other words, you have some information. What are you going to do with that information? I'm a pilot and have flown groups on short-term mission trips into Mexico and Guatemala and things like that. And there was a place in the jungle in Guatemala, a clinic that we had gone to several times. And so another pastor who's a pilot was planning on taking some people down to this clinic. He called me up and he asked some advice. He asked for wisdom about the trip that he was supposed to make and where he should stop for gas along the way, fuel. And as he talked to me about what he wanted to do and ask, I really felt the anointing of the Holy Spirit to talk to him. And I told him, do not stop at gas where you're thinking about doing it. That's the wrong place. Don't stop at the border there. Go over here instead. These people, they'll give you gas out of a can. Who knows what's in that gasoline? You need to go to a regular airport. And that was the wisdom that I had for him. And I felt like it was wisdom from the Lord. This fellow said, well, it's out of the way and their gas is going to be cheaper. I think I'm going to stop there. And I told him as emphatically as I could possibly communicate over the phone, do not stop there under any circumstances. The guy had five people in the airplane with him. He stopped there. He got gas. They got about a mile out over the jungle. That airplane, the engine died, rolled over, and the airplane crashed in the jungle, and they all burned to death. He did not listen to the wisdom that the Holy Spirit was trying to communicate to him. I can't tell you how many times word of wisdom has been invaluable in my life and the life of people around me. That's an example of word of wisdom. Word of knowledge. Now, that is about facts and information. And it can be as simple as one time I was sitting in a meeting. I'd just been made a manager over a branch for General Electric. And I was sitting in a meeting of managers, and the boss comes in, and he starts to tell us something. And as soon as he got to a certain part, the Lord said, "He's lying to you." Gave me that information. This is a lie that he's telling. It was about how they were going to keep some branches open and things like that. And within a month, it was confirmed that what he was telling us was not true. It was a lie. Well, that was a word of knowledge. See, the Lord said, "I'll give you some knowledge that you could not otherwise have." But sometimes it can be a little bit more complicated, like finding things. You know, I've been talking with folks about the Lord helping us find things. And this is a great way to introduce children to spiritual gifts. Say, we don't know where the whatever it is, but the Lord does know. And so we're going to ask him, and he's going to show us. He's going to give us the knowledge of where that is, and then we'll find it. And it's just amazing how many times, if you'll let the Lord, that he'll do that. And I've already told several stories about that, so I'm not going to tell any more stories about that. The word of faith. This is a supernatural gifting to be able to believe God's promises. This is not faith that you have because of what you know or that came from what you've studied in the Word of God. This is a faith that's just dropped down into your heart. I'll give you an example of that. When Debbie and I first married, I had warts on my feet. They were planter's warts, I think is what they were called. Now, they weren't painful. It didn't bother me. But it started bothering Debbie. She said, "You know, I've been reading in the Old Testament, and warts are part of the curse. And the Bible says that we Christians have been set free from the curse. You shouldn't have those warts." And I said, "Yeah, you're right. That's right. Warts are part of the curse." She said, "You need to pray that the Lord will take those warts away." I said, "Okay, that's a good idea." And I would pray and, you know, the warts would still be there. And just every once in a while, she would remind me about that. You know, we'd be going to bed. I'd take my socks off. She'd look over there. "You still have the warts?" "Yep." "You know, warts are part of the curse. And you need to pray that the Lord will take those warts away because you shouldn't be under the curse." "Yeah, that's a good idea." But I just didn't really have any faith about it. Like, you know, who cares? They're just warts. I mean, you know. This went on for probably weeks, months, maybe. Finally, one night, I'm getting ready for bed. Debbie's, I'm on my side of the bed getting ready. Debbie's on the other side. She says, "You know, those warts you have are a curse. And you shouldn't have those warts." And when she said that, all of a sudden, something happened in my heart. And I realized, those warts are a curse. They really are. I shouldn't have them. I should be able to just pray and God will deliver me from these warts. And so I, "God, take these warts away in Jesus' name." And I went to sleep. And if it hadn't happened, to me, I wouldn't believe it, okay? I wake up the next morning and the warts are gone and there is not even any evidence that there had ever been warts on my feet. I had pink skin where the warts had been. That faith, that gift of faith, operated through me. All of a sudden, faith came. It didn't come from my reading the Word. It didn't come from me listening to my wife. It came as a spiritual gift. This is what Paul is talking about, the gift of faith. Prayed for a guy the other day, and the gift of healing. We'll combine these two together, okay? This guy comes up and he says, "I need you to pray for me. I've got a hernia. It has been giving me a lot of trouble lately. I stand at where I work and it has really been hurting. And I just went to the doctor and he said, you're going to have surgery for that. That's your only hope." And he said, "I want God to heal me." Man, when he said that, I knew that I knew that I knew that I knew that God was going to heal him and heal him right then. I could hardly wait to start praying for him because that faith, that gift of faith was in operation. And then it worked with the gift of healing. And as we prayed for him, he stood there for a minute and then he starts moving around. He said, "I can feel something moving down there." And sure enough, God healed him. Well, that was... I don't have any ability, folks, to heal hernias, right? So it was a spiritual gift that was flowing through us to heal that man. Now, you're going to hear some folks say, "Well, the gift of healing is really in the modern day is the gift of doctors. That's what God has given us to perform healings." No, that's not a spiritual gift. That's a learned gift. And as a matter of fact, most of the poor doctors can't heal you anyway. All they can do is just kind of help you through the symptoms until your body heals, you know. This is a spiritual gift, and it doesn't make any difference how tall you are, Irene, or how strong you are. It can work through you if you'll let the Lord do that. If you'll put yourself in a place for God to work through you that way. And as a matter of fact, a lot of you tomorrow, if you come tomorrow afternoon, and especially tomorrow night, you're going to get a chance to operate in the gift of faith, the gift of healing, gift of working of miracles, because we're going to be praying for folks, and we're going to be expecting miracles. And as a matter of fact, I encourage you, invite folks that are sick. Invite folks that are in pain. And let's pray for them tomorrow, and let's watch God heal people, okay, through these spiritual gifts. Okay, the next one in the list is working of miracles. This is a supernatural occurrence. It's something that's outside, beyond, above nature, something you wouldn't expect to happen in a natural way. That's the definition of a miracle, right? One time I was building some computers for a company. I was building and selling computers at the time. It was a computer actually that I had designed, at least the box for it, and it required some special parts. And I needed to deliver 10 computers, and I go to my sack of heat sinks, one of the parts on the computer, and I pour the bag out on the workbench, and I've got, I think it was 5 of them. And I needed 10 of them. They were special made parts. It took weeks to get them. And I thought, oh man, what am I going to do? I thought I had a dozen of these at least. And so I'm moaning and groaning. Debbie comes out the garage and she asks what's going on. And she was just watching a show on television. And this guy was telling about a woman that came to him and said, I want to take the bus and go to some kind of spiritual conference. And all I have is $20 and it costs $100 or something. And so she said, so I put my $20 in this paper sack, and I'm going to give it to you, and I want you to hold it on your body while you preach, and I want God to multiply this. And sure enough, by the time he finished preaching, he gives the bag back to the lady. It's got exactly what she needs for her bus trip. So Debbie has just seen this, right? Actually, this is probably the gift of working in miracles, working through Debbie in this case. And so she tells me about this, and she said, you need to put all those parts back in that sack, and let's pray over the sack. And I said, okay, I'll do that. And we prayed over it, and we poured the parts out, and we had 7 parts. Well, obviously, I had miscounted them the first time. That's okay. And she said, no, put them back in the sack. Let's do it again. And we did it, and eventually, there were 10 of those parts, and I was able to finish those computers.
Well, we're going to break this teaching here, and we'll pick up again next week with the rest of this teaching.